Just in case you didn't pick it up there, after the conclusion of our service today, we're going to be going downstairs for a time of fellowship. And there's a cake down there today, especially for the dedication of the finishing of the project of Operation Facelift. And also, again, if you didn't pick it up, today is the annual business meeting. We'll be talking about a number of different things, about church information, but also about the search for the pastor and information about that. We hope you'll stay. Even if you're not a member, we hope you'll stay and join us for that. Okay. What I'd like to do is show you a couple of slides, just as we're a change of pace, and I'm going to ask the Lord's blessing here. But guys, would you show that first slide? I thought maybe you could use a... We're talking about identifying here today, so here's the first one. I don't know if you can identify. I can. My superpower is holding on to junk for years and throwing it away the week before I need it. Go to the next one. Yeah, beauty comes in all shapes and sizes, small, large, square, thin crust, large crust, stuffed crust, and extra toppings. Next, please. Yeah, and I identify. I'm starting to think I will never be old enough to know better. On. I may look like I'm having deep thoughts, but 90% of the time I'm thinking about what I'm going to eat later. And I think there's one more. I got called pretty today. Well, actually, the full statement was, you're pretty annoying, but I only focus on the positive things. Just for a second, just would you bow with me just for a moment. Lord, we just want to thank you for what you are doing here, for the presence of God that's here. Some are aware of it, some are not. But God, that you would just make everyone aware of it today by your authority, by your power. You would inspire what's said, Lord. You would anoint the word, and you anoint the hearer. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Going to be going to the book of Joshua today. If you have your Bible, use it. If you have your phone, use it. If you have your tablet, use it. Look it up. Chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. We'll be looking also at chapter 11. Last week, Mike Caiazzo brought an inspiring message. And we've been talking about Joshua. And he talked about Joshua's a number of things. But the thing that touched me was the idea that Joshua, at one point in time, failed to seek the counsel of God. Because it was an easy, simple situation. And he didn't go and ask God first. And because of that, they were fooled. And I want to build on that, because it is absolutely important, it's critical for us to seek God's counsel in everything that we do, not just the difficult or hard things, but in everything that we do, large and small. So I want you to look at this verse, it'll be on the screen, 2 Samuel chapter 22, 31, and it reads, "As for God, his way is proven, he is a shield to all those who trust in him. As for God, his way is proven. He's sure. He is a shield to all those who trust in him." So what have we been doing for these past 8 weeks? We had Vince Eppolito here for 1 week in between, but for every week in between that and beyond that, we've been studying the book of Joshua. And we started with that promise where God said to Joshua, don't be discouraged or afraid. Do you remember that? And he repeated that so many times. Joshua was assigned one of the most difficult jobs any man has ever been asked to do, to take a people who have no country, who are born out in the wilderness, and bring them together as a nation, and go into another land and take that land because it was a promise to their ancestors. And Joshua took up that mantle, and he began to lead them. And we as a church have been talking about this because we identify with Joshua. When Pastor Jerry left, all of a sudden, and it seemed all of a sudden, he planned on going years later. We were asked to move forward as a body. When Moses passed away, God took his life. He said to Joshua, I'm going to ask you now to take over and move forward. So we identify with the same sort of situation here. So we look at this. In some ways, what God asked them to do then, God is asking us to do now. And Joshua's life was marked by success and failure. We've seen both. And the one essential difference between the successes and the failures are the times that God sought, that not Joshua sought God's counsel, and the times that he didn't. And I asked myself, can it really be that easy? If we just seek God's counsel, will he always show us the way? Well, let's find out and see. Let's look at and check this out. Joshua chapter 10. And this is kind of going a step back again, but I want to take a step back again so we can go a step forward. Joshua chapter 10, verses 40 through 43. It'll be up here. It'll be from the Message, but I hope you also have your own Bibles. You can check it out. It reads, Joshua took the whole country, hills, desert, foothills, mountain slopes, including all the kings. He left no survivors. He carried out the holy curse on everything that breathed, just as God, the God of Israel, had commanded. And Joshua's conquest stretched from Kadesh Barnea to Gaza, and from the entire region of Goshen to Gibeon. Joshua took all these things and their lands in a single campaign. Did you get that? Joshua took all these things in one single campaign. Because, and here's the part we need to underline and highlight, because God, the God of Israel, fought for Israel. So, after this is done, after he takes this campaign and seems to do the whole thing in a fell swoop, God asks Joshua to retreat. And so Joshua, not retreating from the enemy, but retreating for a time of rest. And verse 43 says that Joshua and all Israel with him went back to the camp of Gilgal for a time of rest. Now today, we're going to be having, again, at the conclusion, after we have a time of fellowship, and right after that, coming back up again for our annual business meeting. And also, as I mentioned earlier, we haven't really recognized the fact that God has kind of helped us to get through this project, more than kind of, absolutely helped us get through this project called Operation Facelift, which is the restoration of the project of the inside of this building, which was much needed. It wasn't a war, but sometimes it felt like it. And it didn't happen quickly, although it looks, so some people on the outside might say, well, it happened pretty quick, but it took a while to get through that. It took research and planning, it took debating, it took scheduling, and finally accomplishing the pieces that went to it together. But more than anything else, it came together with prayer. The people who served in that committee, in that council, sought God's help. They sought God's counsel. And looking back, God was with us, step by step, and yet it didn't happen without sacrifice and heartache. Now, after conquering the entire region in a single fell swoop, it seems like, they head back to Gilgal for rest. And the war isn't over. There's much more to do. But they're going to take this time of respite to go and have this time of rest. And rest is a thing I have been praying for my family for a while now. I've been praying, God, give us a time of rest. And I'm praying not just for my own family, for my own children, for my own grandchildren, but I'm also praying for my family here, for you, that God would give us a time of rest, because there was those battles that go on, life's battles go on, but God also wants us to have a time where we can just take a deep breath and have the weight fall off and have this rest. I want you to listen to the words of Jesus. Here's how Jesus looked at this idea of rest. Matthew 11, chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. And you'll recognize this. Hopefully you do. He says, are you tired and worn out? Speaking to the multitudes of people who are listening. Speaking to you today. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Come get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me. That's what we're doing today. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. God wants that kind of rest and that kind of peace for you. And if you need that kind of rest and peace before you leave today, he invites you to come to him and get it, to receive it. Now, life's battles never stop. They go on. But the question is, how are we going to deal with those battles? Are we going to deal with those battles in our ability and our strength to take them, to deal with them? Or are we going to deal with them in God's strength? Remember that Joshua was successful because God fought for them. And when he didn't take his counsel, they were not successful. And when he did, they were. Take a look at Joshua chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. Reading here from the New Living Translation, but again, please feel free and hopefully encourage you to use your own Bibles. Joshua 11, chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. Now, this is after that time of rest. When King Jabin of Hazor heard what had happened, heard about the entire region being conquered earlier, when he heard what happened, he sent messengers to the following kings, to King Joab of Madon, to King Shimron, to the king of Asheph, all the kings of the northern hill country, the kings of the Jordan Valley, south of Galilee, the kings of the Galilean foothills, the kings of Naboth, Dor, on the west, the kings of Canaan, both east and west, the kings of the Amorites. And so what they did was they had a UN national security meeting here, and while they were resting, while Joshua was resting, his enemies were not resting. They were plotting and planning and forming a super alliance for a super army. And they were going to come together against him. You know, it's easy to come away with the idea that the campaign that was mentioned to be a one quick swoop, it was a real fast type of a thing that happened quickly, but it was maybe a day or a week. It wasn't. It didn't happen quickly. In fact, the whole thing didn't happen quickly. It took a while, years, before Joshua actually, even with God's help, conquered that promised land. Now, when we pray, and I am just incredibly encouraged lately by seeing the way that God is answering prayers. Our Wednesday night Bible study, we really have been seeing it firsthand because the prayer requests have been going up and the prayer requests, the answers have been coming back. And it's just like amazing, this most recent thing with Amber and how God completely turned that situation around was just one example of how that's going. And I get excited when I pray and I see God answer those prayers right away. I don't know about you, but that's like, wow, God is moving, and it's great to see it. It's tangible. You can feel it. You can see it. You're involved with it. But it doesn't always work that way. Because there are times you're going to pray and you're not going to see the answer right away. There are times you're going to pray and you're going to have to continue to pray. In fact, God refers to those situations as warriors. Prayer warriors. And there's something to be gained in doing that. Persistent prayer. God has his reasons for not answering right away at times, because that struggle produces something inside of us. And of course, as always, it deals with faith. It somehow brings out the best in us, and it makes us into something or someone that we wouldn't have been without it. I want you to think about this. You know, here are situations the way people see them, but God sees them in a whole different way. This kind of was amazing to me. But you'll recognize some of these names. Beethoven. Beethoven's teacher called him a hopeless composer. He was worthless. There was nothing he'd ever accomplish. Walt Disney was fired by a newspaper because they said he had no imagination, he had lack of ideas. Isaac Newton, Sir Isaac Newton, was so bad at grade school that they thought he would never accomplish anything. Leo Tolstoy, who was the author of War and Peace, the novel, flunked out of college, and the professor said to him, "You'll never accomplish anything." Henry Ford, wow, failed 5 times, went completely bankrupt before he finally found success, incredible success. And Winston Churchill can't even begin to tell you what his teachers thought of him. In 6th grade, he was left back. He failed the entire grade. He became prime minister not until the age of 66. And as a senior citizen, he did more with his life than he did for the entire beginning of his life, but virtually saved England from the Nazi invasion. So we look at things one way. People make estimation and guesses one way, but God looks at things in an entirely different way. And the struggles that we go through in life produced something that we wouldn't have without those struggles. It took Joshua and Israel 7 years to conquer that land. It wasn't fast, it wasn't quick, and it wasn't easy. But it was done because God had made a promise that it would be. Now, I want to give you a reference point. 7 years. How long is 7 years regarding a battle or a war? World War II lasted for 4 years. And for the United States, World War I was 4 years. And for the United States, it was only 1 year involvement. World War II went from 1939 to 1945. That was about 6 years, and only about four for the U.S. The United States Civil War, 1861 to 1865, those horrible, bloody, terrible years of war, those were 4 years. Spanish-American War, 4 months. And what did take longer was the American Revolution. When you go from Lexington and Concord, a little bit of Yorktown, you got almost 7 years involved there. And because it was that long, they were almost ready to crucify George Washington. 7 long years of fighting and war for Joshua. Do you know what the number 7 means in biblical terms? Anybody know? Perfect. Completion. Interesting, right? 7 years, perfect completion. Now, those kings, they got together to fight. All those guys, I didn't even mention the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and all the other guys that got together to form this incredible super army. And they had decided, we're going to use a strategy here. We're not going to use the same strategy that the guys did last week. When Mike talked about the group of people, the Hivites, who decided they would fool Joshua, and they put their old clothes on, and they went out, and they said to them, you know, we're from a far country. We want to be your allies. We want to make this covenant with you. You know, their whole thing was, if you can't beat them, what? Join them, right? But these guys are going to follow that strategy where the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And so the people who hated each other got together to form this super army to come against them. That fourth verse reads, all the kings came out to fight, and their combined armies formed a vast horde. And with all their horses and chariots, they covered the landscape like the sand of the seashore. The kings joined forces, establishing their camp around the water near Merom to fight against Israel. So when Joshua came back from that time of rest and he looked out, I can only imagine what his heart felt like when he saw armies and horses and chariots as far as the eye could see and across the entire horizon. They were not only outnumbered, they were incredibly outnumbered. It is amazing that after a victory, when God gives you a victory, and you can have that time of rest, don't get too comfortable. Because you are going to face another challenge. In fact, you are going to continue to face those challenges. But you don't have to face those challenges alone. Because God is going to fight for his people. God is going to defend his people. It might be a scary thing to look out and see the enemy. You know, this is not only a threat. This is a reality. We're not threatening you. We're here to do it. It's a frightening thing to see, look out and see that. And our enemy always, our spiritual enemy, always wants to make us cower. He always wants to use fear and confusion. And especially after God has accomplished something good. And anytime God decides to use you in a way that he will be able to glorify himself and accomplish something great for someone else, you can expect that you're going to face challenge. It's going to come up against you, but you don't have to face it alone. You know, on February 14th this year, there was another horrific shooting at the Parklands, Florida school, the high school. 17 people killed. Everyone's heard about it. Unless you have your head in the sand, you know about it. And as I began to do research, I found out that here we are only 9 weeks into the new year, the year 2018, and there have already been 12 school shootings. Now, only a couple of those have been the mass shootings, and most of them were single person, one person getting even with another person, but there was always this gunplay going on. And for many cases, they were not fatal, people didn't die, but 12 shootings. And so because of what's going on, because of the rapid increase in the situation, you're hearing these debates, and you're hearing both sides of the political spectrum going after it, and people looking for solutions, and kids out protesting, and things are going on, and we're looking and demanding for solutions and trying to find a way to get a handle on this thing. You got gun-free school zones, you've got suggestions for people carrying the guns and officials, and the debate is hot. And it should be. And there should be a lot of discussion about it. But unfortunately, there's a frenzy now, this feeling of fear and this lack of control. I want to share with you something that Jim Daly, if you recognize that name, he is one of the people who's heavily involved, the director of Focus on the Family. And I want to take an excerpt of something I just read from him this week that he put on regarding this situation, what we're facing now with this terror in our schools. And he writes, "We're living through a moral freefall. But in few positions or influence are we willing to talk about it. Instead, we hear much about its symptoms, like gun violence. And many of these same people want to ban the very things that will lead to healing and revival." He's not talking about banning guns. "Those with a fervent and sincere faith are mocked and marginalized rather than respected and uplifted for their deeply held religious convictions. This past week, Vice President Mike Pence was maligned the other day by an ABC television host for acknowledging that he prays for wisdom and waits to hear for guidance from God. The person went so far as to say it's one thing to pray, but when you hear voices, like voices from God, that's called insanity. I also can't help but note that many of those who are demanding more gun laws in an effort to protect innocent life find it entirely acceptable that 4,000 innocent lives are lost each day at the hand of abortionists. Yet our social sites, our social elites, seem genuinely befuddled why life is viewed so cheaply by those who resort to shocking incidents of violence. What's more, those who champion the ideal of families with both mother and father are regularly dismissed as being hopelessly out of touch with modern mores. Yet six of the deadliest mass shootings committed in the United States since 2005 were committed by young men without fathers in the home." If you remember just 2 weeks ago when we heard from youth mentoring here, from Vince, about what a need there is for young boys to have mentors. I hope you were considering that. And he writes, Jim Daly continues, he said, "We have a tourniquet level problem, a sick culture, crumbling families, and an abandonment of basic values of decency. And we're attempting to treat it with band-aid solutions that will do nothing to address the cause." You know, questions abound when we face things like this. And this is a situation that I won't say it's unique, but it is to our country to see this kind of thing going on. We don't need foreign terrorists. We're doing it all by ourselves. Questions abound. We shake our head and we say, where is God in a situation like this? And what can God do about this? And earlier I asked, you may have heard the song during the offertory, I asked Frank to play that. It was a song by Steve Curtis Chapin, and it was called God is God. And I wanted to read just a small portion of the lyrics of that song that were played earlier. "Only God is God," and here is part of what he writes, "and the pain falls like a curtain on the things I once called certain. And I have to say the words I fear the most, I just don't know. And the questions without answers come and paralyze the dancer. So I stand there on the stage, afraid to move, afraid to fall. Oh, but fall I must on this truth that my life has been formed from the dust. God is God and I am not. I can only see a part of the picture he's painting. God is God and I am man, so I'll never understand it all. For only God is God." And he goes on to say, "How great are the riches of his wisdom and knowledge, how unsearchable for him, and through him from all things are him. So let us worship before the throne of the one who is worthy of worship alone." That's where we need to be. We can't deal with the symptoms of our society. We have to deal with the causes, the problems of our society. When Joshua faced that overwhelming enemy, when he looked out and it was like the sand on the seashore, there were that many people, and they were ready to do them in and to kill them. They came out there to create this battle and to destroy their enemy. Here's what happens. Joshua 11, verses 6 and 7. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this is as Joshua was looking at this situation, and probably fear gripped his heart. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. By this time tomorrow, I will hand them all over to you, over to Israel as dead men. So Joshua and all his fighting men traveled to the water near Merom and attacked suddenly, and the Lord gave them victory over their enemies. Joshua completely defeated this enemy, but he didn't do it alone. He didn't do it by man's authority. He didn't do it by his cleverness. He didn't do it because of his strategy. He did it because he took the counsel of God, followed God, and God fought for him, using him and Israel. As I prayed about these situations this week, and I was thinking about what we're facing, especially with the situation with our schools, God spoke to me with three pieces of scripture, and I just wanted to share them with you. They will not be up here, but I wanted to share them with you. And they're from Ephesians, and from Isaiah, and from 2 Chronicles. And the first one's from Ephesians chapter 6, 12. And you'll recognize that verse. For we do not wrestle against what? Flesh and blood. The battle is not against ordinary forces. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. This is the power behind the violence. This is the power behind the power. And then the second verse was Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. You'll recognize it. But they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We can't focus on the symptoms. We have to seek God's counsel and take in his strength, and wait upon him for that power, and move when he tells us to move. And 2 Chronicles 7:14 reads, and you know this one, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will restore their land. So whose responsibility is it? Who can really turn this thing around? Really, it comes down to our part, because the government is not going to solve this problem. The political parties are not going to solve this problem. The strategies are not going to. It's great to have the conversations and see some of the things they're trying to do. But it's going to be the Christian, the believer, seeking God's face for healing of this place and land and for our people and for our society will make the difference for us. It will be God fighting for his people. And you are God's people. If my people, we, the church, will humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, heal their land. That's just as strong of a promise as the promise that God gave to Joshua. Everywhere you put your foot, I'm going to give you that land. It's just as strong a promise. God gave Joshua victory over the entire region, but he didn't do it alone. God fought for him. You know the great thing about Billy Graham? You know what made him so special? Billy Graham was such a humble man. Billy Graham didn't listen to all the praise saying about, oh, how great Billy Graham is. Billy Graham knew who he was, and he knew who God was. And Billy Graham used to say, it's not the power of the messenger. It's the power of the message. It's not who I am, it's who God is. And you know that God wants to use us the same kind of a way. Whatever problems you may be facing today, whatever is pulling your heart down, today is a day to seek the Lord and pray about it. And I want to take a moment here and just take a second and bow our heads, but I also want to take time to give prayer. If you need to have prayer, if you need to be prayed over, if there's something you want to be prayed with, for have us to pray with you, I want you to come up today and let us do that. So let's take a moment just for a second and just bow. Father, we want to thank you for this time that you have made available to us. This opportunity, O Lord, that you've made available to us. And God, when we look at situations and we say, what can be done? We need to take your counsel to find out. Because whenever we seek your advice, whenever we take your advice, whenever we seek your wise counsel, you provide the answers to our situations. So Lord, today we want to also take a moment and pray for those who may need it. Would you all stand with me just for a minute? Everyone stand. If you need to have prayer, now I know we're going to have the time to cake downstairs, and that can wait for a minute. And we're going to have the meeting later, and that can wait for a minute. But if you need to be prayed for or prayed over, there's something you want us to pray with you about, would you just put your hand up for a second? Who needs to have prayer like that? Anyone? Okay. I'd like to pray with you. Could you make your way to the front? We can pray with you. A couple of the elders, would you come up and pray? Pastor Nick, would you come up too? Praise you, Lord God. As we're praying, and you feel like you need to come, just come. Maybe you haven't come yet, maybe you need to. But if you're standing there, just join us in I want to rush through this. If there's anyone else who needs prayer, don't we all need that prayer, huh? Father, we are so humbled before you, your presence. And pray, God, that you give an understanding to each person here today. Something that they maybe have never grasped before, that you love them so desperately that you will never leave them alone. And that you want the Lord to use them in a mighty way, O God, so that they can be the one that proves your faithfulness in their life and in the life of others. And Father, just watch over the rest of this day. We pray for, O Lord, again, revival in our land. Keep that upon our hearts, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. Let's spend some time together.